boring? And don't tell me to kid myself, you already did by looking at your phone instead of paying attention.
We are the Cat Named Mo Show. That is Dave Draymond of Disturbed. Again, chastising a member of the audience that had their face in the phone texting the entire, as he said, effing show. Now, Rebecca has the response and the reason, and I believe that I know a little bit about what it is. Before I let you read that, Rebecca, we also have my friend and comedian in here, Steve Reynolds, who has joined us for today's show. Randy wants to make a point. Randy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling to make a comment on the singer. I understand being on your phone, it is disrespectful. She paid. Well, somebody paid for those seats. I mean, he's making his money, you know. And I think as somebody out in the audience, instead of her being on her, me being upset that she's on her phone, I would be a little bit more upset that he stopped a concert to yell at her, where I didn't pay. I didn't pay money to listen to somebody yell at someone else. I want to hear some music. So, I mean, I kind of think that he was wrong, but I could understand how, you know, it is rude also.
Randy, I tell you what, I think you made some very, very valid points. Again, yeah, there may be people that go, listen, you know, it's rude for you to stop down the show. As a performer on the stand-up stage, certainly not a music stage, and Steve can relate to this too, what happens is, and I'm not discounting what you're saying, and I think you're absolutely right in a lot of what you said. What happens is if you see someone, and it shouldn't be this way, but if you're in the front row or you're near the front row and you see someone that is continually doing something else, continually distracted, it ends up distracting you and pulling you out of giving your best performance. Now, there are people that would say if you're a performer, you ought to be able to handle anything that's put before you. And so I can understand that. So I have to say, I don't necessarily think that you're wrong, while I do still think that it was good of Dave to call out the woman. You made some very, very valid points, Randy, and I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. Have a good show.
All right, thank you. Steve, your opinion on it?
Well, first of all, I think it's disrespectful to play Tears for Fears over the top of a Disturbed story.
That's all right.
Yeah. I think what it sounded like, if you didn't know the context, it sounded like a science teacher had taken a freshman female student into the hallway to tell them, because that's what it sounded like to me. It sounded very...
condescending?
No, it sounded like very... like. Axl Rose would have just spit on that woman, and that's the end of it. That's
okay.
It. That's the whole statement. You don't.
She wasn't a balcony, though. That's a far spit. You got to, like, get ready.
They do have, they have people that will go up and spit for you.
Okay.
At a
that
show.
Kind of money,
yeah.
So.
They've got GNR money. GNR, they don't waste their own saliva. They'll get somebody else to do it.
She was in the balcony, and he picked her out of the balcony?
Dude, but she front. It's front, you know,
if you watch the video, the balcony kind of leans over the stage, and she's right in front of
him. So it's right there. It's right there in front of your face.
How about a Jack Daniels bottle?
Right up to the head?
Yes.
So you do agree, then, that it's distracting for someone to do that.
I think that's the epitome of a lack of self-esteem, that you've got a show. I don't know how many people were in there, probably 80, given their recent success.
Say they're 2,000.
Well, say there's 2,000, and 99% are totally into the show, and he picks out one person and spends a ridiculous amount of time, you know, and that's what people are left with on that show, is they go home thinking, oh, I got to listen to him lecture some woman
so
who's on Facebook at the end.
In other words,
it's
no matter.
It's so not rock and roll to me that it's embarrassing.
Now, listen, I don't know if it's, I can understand you saying it's embarrassing, but I think it's very rock and roll to call out people that are doing things disturbing to you from the stage. I mean, we have one of the greatest double albums ever in Pink Floyd's The Wall, and the impetus for Roger Waters writing The Wall was him being on stage performing a Floyd concert and someone being so obnoxious up front that he spit on the guy. There you go, Steve and Rebecca. And he had to ask himself, this is a guy that paid money to come out and see me perform, and I have been reduced to spitting upon him, and he wanted to address the wall that seemed to have been built up between performer and audience. And I think it gave us a great double album. I mean, look at the what was it, the Stones out at Altamont, you know, singing the Hell's Angels on the black kid.
These are
that
all
they
appropriate
killed.
Responses to poor behavior. That's what ridiculous, like he was going to send her home with a note that she had to have signed and promised not to do it again. It was
okay, and we just lost a call. Who was the caller that called? I was just about to go to
Colin.
Him. Colin, call back if you want, and I know we had another caller in. I don't know why you had to drop, but I will go to your call right now. Rebecca, give us a statement from the woman?
I do have a statement.
Okay, go ahead.
So the Dallas Observer was able to contact her, and her reasoning. Well, let's preface this with, she did not text the entire show, according to her. She only texted after the band left the stage and the crowd was chanting one more song, and she was texting before the encore. And
that makes no sense. That makes no sense.
No, but due to the subject matter of the text, she had to continue the conversation. And who she was texting? She was texting her daughter, who was trapped in a hailstorm after going to her youth group at church. All the kids were trying to get home.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And the kids were trapped in a hailstorm, and she was trying to help calm her daughter down and get the kids out of this bad situation.
Okay, let me call BS on a couple of fronts, okay? And I know you're young, and I understand that, but let me call BS on a couple of fronts. Dave Draymond, I don't care how narcissistic a performer he is not going to, as Steve said, take an exorbitant amount of time out of the show to address someone that was not texting the entire show, and just after they had ended the show and were being called on for an encore, decided to text. I don't believe he's that crazy, that insane. Second, okay, this woman has all of the sob story elements in her story. My child, a rainy night, a church organization.
It was hail.
Hail. Okay, this is what I would say to you. If that is the situation with my child that is trapped in a hailstorm and you need to get them out of there, I am going to extricate myself from the loud concert, not text her, and perhaps go into the lobby and call her and go, are you okay? What can I do? So that's a BS story.
Okay.
That is a
kid was.
Although she may have been still with some youth leaders thinking they could handle it, because she says she was with a youth group, a church youth group.
You're so naive.
What is trapped in a hailstorm mean anyway?
That is a good point.
Was it just this one kid was trapped in the hailstorm and the church leaders were trying to pull the kid out of the hailstorm?
Thank you, Steve. That story is such BS. Get out of here. Let's go to Bob. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Catman Mo?
I'm doing all right, Bob. How about yourself?
Okay, I got one of the cleanest, coolest jokes you've ever heard.
Go ahead.
Okay, how do you take the letter F, as in Frank, out of the word way?
How do you take... that sounds dirty. I don't know, Bob. I mean, you can tell Roland off air, and then you can tell me if you can say it on air. Find out about it off air, Roland. But you understand that story is completely fabricated. She got called out.
But all that aside, I do have another opinion on this.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so like you were saying, Steve, you said that she was texting, and it was kind of outrageous for him to call out one person out of the whole show, out of 2,000-some people, just to yell at her and waste time about her texting. And I've been to concerts where everyone in the pit, pretty much everyone in the entire show, is holding up their cell phone, recording the entire show, practically watching it through their cell phone
screen. I've seen that too, and it's annoying.
And I've had artists stop and say, can you put your phones down? You're here. You paid money to be here live, so watch it live. I'm sure we have our own camera crew that's going to post some of these clips on my website. You can watch the video clips later, but you're here, so put your phones away. And I appreciate that, because I'm right there with that artist. But this time, it's just one person. I don't know. It seemed kind of excessive.
I think like any wrong in society, this woman's clearly a victim. And I think that this all could be solved with a GoFundMe that raises $400,000 or $500,000, so that she can have like a private concert with a band of her choice.
There you go.
That's the only way to solve this.
Otherwise, it will never get solved. Craig, go ahead. You're on the Cat Named Mo Show.
This lady has every right. She paid her money for the concert. She could do really whatever she wants.
Okay, Craig, and a lot of people, and I'm not saying that you're wrong at all, a lot of people have echoed that sentiment. Now, let me ask you this. You are in a movie theater to see The Force Awakens. There is someone beside you that paid money for that ticket and are sitting there texting throughout the entire movie. Do you have an issue with that?
Not at all. Texting does not make any noise.
Okay, but the light emanating from the screen, not only the light, but the movement of that person. You're not telling me that's going to diminish your viewing experience because you've
Great
got this.
Point.
Yeah. So while I understand, Craig, and again, I'm not saying you're wrong, while I understand the point of she purchased a ticket so she can sit there and do whatever she wants, I think in society we do have to understand that seeing a concert, like seeing a movie, is a shared experience. So you have to kind of be a little sensitive to the other people around.
Now, Mo, let me ask you this. I'm sure you've been to concerts where everybody is videotaping the show and not even watching the show.
Right.
So they've got their phones in the air. So what's the difference of somebody holding up a phone to video it or to sit there and text?
Well, now, I will tell you this, and Rebecca just made that point, too. I find that annoying. But
well, one of them is a crime.
From the fact that that's also a crime. I will be honest with you. To me, because even if you can see beyond these cell phones, it still pulls your line of sight down to it.
Because now you got to eavesdrop on that person's text conversation.
Of course you do.
You got to know what's up, right?
But I understand what you're saying. It's in this age of technology, there's a lot of sensitivity that I think is being lost. So again, I don't think that you're wrong, Craig, in what you said, my friend. Thanks for the call, by the way.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
Appreciate it.
He's completely wrong. He started out the conversation by saying it's fine.
I don't think it's for him. Now, he's saying that for him, if he feels that way. So for him, it's not wrong. But he did acquiesce and go, okay, I do see your point. If someone's texting, how it can be disturbing for you, or distracting, rather, if you're in a movie theater. The other thing that I was going to say, like, sometimes you have to make allowances. Sometimes you don't. I hate it. When people go to a concert and they have to stand for the entire concert.
Mm-hmm. Really? You don't like that?
Not if it's
you
in
don't
a,
dance?
Not if it's in the theater. No. No. I don't know that the bands that I see play a lot of danceable music anyway. But I want to sit there and I want to absorb the entire experience and just be, you know, amazed at the musicianship.
A middle-aged white lady is who's the picture in your
exactly.
head.
Exactly.
Right,
that is who I am when I go to the concert.
You couldn't dance in the 80s. You certainly can't dance now. So, sit down.
That sounds like an 80s song. Matthew, go ahead.
Hey, Mo. You read my tweet earlier. I'm the one that actually likes Disturbed and actually is a fan of them. But I think I'd be worried about the lady's safety after being called out at a Disturbed concert.
Well, yeah, that, you know, this is true, too. I mean, yeah, you certainly don't want to incite the crowd to violence. To me, again, it's just it's a performer's thing. Steve, you understand. And thank you, by the way, Matthew, for the call and
for
the
Matthew,
tweet.
Just so you know, part of the GoFundMe money is going to go to private security for this poor woman who has been a victim.
Have you set up the GoFundMe account already?
I have set it up. It's-
you have seen this happen. You have been on the stand-up stage. Sometimes you will get a guy. It's usually a guy. It can be a girl. It's not gender-specific, but more often than not, it's a guy who, for some reason, is sitting in the front row and looks like he wants to be anywhere else but there. He's had a fight with his girl on the way there. He never wanted to come in the first place. He's with relatives he doesn't like, but he is sitting there with this look on his face.
Arms crossed.
Yeah, arms crossed, and it's incendiary. And it doesn't matter if the other 150 or 49 people are laughing in that crowd, you know, as a performer, that your line of sight and your attention is focused on that one guy going, what the hell? What am I doing wrong? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, it throws you off.
Which is why I always go on stage with an empty bottle of Jack Daniels
so you get
and a mouthful of spit.
Clock them up.
I'm a problem solver.
That's what you can expect out of Steve Reynolds' show right there. Jameek?
Jameek.
Jameek, go ahead, Jameek.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I heard you guys talking about people taking I used to do stand-up years ago, and I know people taking pictures. It's horrible. But what Dave Chappelle does nowadays is when you go into a show, you have to give up your phone. And if you won't give up your phone, they won't let you in. So you give up your phone, you get like a coat check kind of number, and you cannot walk in with your phone watching his show. They did that in L.A., and people raised hell about it. But
listen.
I'm behind him, man.
I don't know. I think that's going too far in the other direction. Thanks for the call, by the way. I'm not giving up my phone to a stranger to go and see a concert.
Well, the simple solution there is you just have an extra phone.
Well,
that's what I'm doing.
You double up, so you don't.
I got one strapped to my thigh.
Steve, we're trying to address the problem, not circumvent it.
I told you I'm a problem solver. That's what I'm doing here.
Yes, you are. I see that you are. But are you giving up to see anyone? Are you giving up your phone?
If it's a Chappelle show and you know it and you want to see him, you're like, okay, I will do it. But
really?
That's not going to work for most. It's not going to work for most
widespread
bands or
panic.
It's not. Yeah, it's not going to work.
Right, but you would do that.
Yeah, I would do that. I don't have a problem doing that.
I wouldn't do that. I think you are overstepping.
I mean, I got to leave my knife anyway, so I put it with my phone.
Stop laughing at him, Rebecca. I think that's overstepping your bounds, and that's
because you have an unnatural emotional attachment to your phone.
No, it's not even about it. I don't think it's
even
about that.
I do. I'll admit it. I'm addicted to my phone. I can't let it go.
But I will say this. I'm not the kind of person that's going to be at a concert or movie and be on my phone. But
I just need to physically feel it with me, because if I don't have it, it's almost like an anxiety thing.
But we don't make rules in this society for people like you guys. Make them. No, what I'm saying is the rules are made
for women
for
and blacks.
Idiots.
Oh, okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, is true.
You don't make rules for women and black.
We are given the short end.
Yes, we are. I would say this. And I understand that my phone is locked, but there is way too much information, and my phone is way too valuable for me to give to some hat check person that you're paying 12 bucks an hour for, who's now—
I like this extrapolation here.
And now,
first of all, hat check person? What is this? You go in and
because
see,
you don't have coats in Florida. You just check.
You
know
what I'm saying.
Check your flip-flops and your
phone check person. Now let me ask you this: if that person loses my phone, or if he accidentally gives my phone, because let's face it, a lot of them look alike, he accidentally gives my phone to someone. Do you assume the value of that phone? Am I getting $700 back?
Now this is the Dean Martin concert that you went to.
Yes, I'm just saying something. I don't know if
there's no technology that can keep your phone safe for an hour and a half. Is that what you're saying?
This is what I'm saying. Hire security, and if you see somebody with their phone out, you don't give them a warning. You kick them out.
Little lockers.
Nah.
That big.
No. Okay.
With tiny little keys.
Nah.
And you put your phone in there and it's safe.
When I'm ready to exit a concert, yeah, I don't want to have to make a stop off at the phone check center.
Well, you got to get your hat. And the hat check girl.
It was an analogy, Steve. Mike, go ahead. Stop laughing at him.
Go ahead. What's going on? So I have a solution for anyone that if you're in a movie theater and someone's texting. I saw Batman Superman recently.
Right.
The guy next to me the entire time he not only was texting, but he had the flash indicator.
Ugh.
So when he got text, it flashed. So it was like really obvious. And the only thing I thought was, there's some psychotic people out there, and I don't know what this guy is, how he would respond to, like, you know, verbally telling him, you always turn your phone off.
Right.
So I just waited after the movie. I just went to the manager of the movie theater, and I got a free ticket. So that's the solution. You just go to whoever the venue is, and then, you know, give your grievances, and they'll give you a free ticket.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than causing some sort of confrontation.
I agree. I might say something politely. I might say, you know, I don't know if it's okay if you cannot do that. It's really pulling my attention and it's distracting me. If they refuse to, then I would see if there was another seat. If not, yeah, then I would go and I would say, hey, I need my money back, and I'll just come again.
I like the free tickets. Not as good as GoFundMe.
Stop pushing this poor girl's GoFundMe account.
No, we're going to start one for Mike.
Did we ever find out if her daughter made it out of the hailstorm?
All it says is that she needed to calm her daughter down because she was terrified of this hailstorm, and that she was at a youth night at their church.
Okay, how do you calm a daughter down via text? Wouldn't you call your daughter again? Darren, go ahead. We got a couple more calls, then we're going to go to break and come back. I have this story about a white cat and dreads, and for some reason, nobody likes white people wearing dreads. I don't get it.
I love the show. Listen to you guys forever.
Thank you, Darren.
All I got to say is I've I totally respect what the lead singer of Disturbed said, did. It's almost like a heckler at a comedian show. He pays for the money, but at the same time he's ruining the performance and ultimately ruin the experience for everybody else.
Darren, that's a very good point that you make, and I know it's not as obtrusive as a heckler at a comedy show, but in a lot of ways, to some people, it may be. Dave, go ahead. We got two more calls after this, and then we're going to move on. Go ahead.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, I don't think her story adds up, you know? I mean, she's at a rock concert with a youth group, yet she is cussing up a storm at the lead singer of this band, and she's making this sob story as to why she was on her phone. But you know, like you said earlier, I would have left if my kids seemed to be in danger. I would have left the rock show.
Absolutely. If it's that much danger, Dave, thank you for the call, by the way.
Does Dave have some way to break into a hailstorm to rescue this child?
That's what I'm saying. Does she even? If your child is in so much danger that she needs to be calmed down, I can't imagine you're going to sit there while a band is playing a loud rock song and try and calm your daughter, as opposed to removing yourself to the lobby and then giving her a call and saying, hey, maybe it's going to be all right.
I think it depends on whether or not they played your favorite song yet.
Consider this, though. True. So say she's not in physical danger, but she's having a panic attack, and you're the mother, and she's contacting the mother saying, I'm having a panic attack, please help me. And you know she's fine, but you have to say something.
You hit it. Say it. If my child needs my help in any way, shape, or form, I am going to call. I'm just going to call.
Okay.
Maybe that's just me, but are we that far removed from human interaction that you feel texting a child that is seeking comfort from you is okay or suffices? It's just weak to me. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Mo?
I'm doing all right, my friend.
I love you, sir. I listen to you 24/7. I drive a pool route, so the bone's online all day, all the time.
We love to hear that, Chris.
Hey,
you know it.
I want to know what has happened to having these nights out as a personal experience to yourself. Why can't you go to a concert, watch the concert, feel the emotion the concert brings to you, and not have to share it on social media?
I agree with you 100%, Chris.
I'm only 31. I remember the days my parents paid for a 1-800 number so I could call home on payphones when I'm out about on the block. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't take videos and post them on social media every day or take a picture and be like, look what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. For me personally,
listen,
I don't need to tell you what I'm doing.
If you don't get at least 12 likes on something, it didn't happen.
I know, and Steve makes a good point. It's in today's society, if you don't get like 12 likes on something, it's like it never happened. It's like it didn't.
You don't get depressed about it.
Exactly. Chris, call of the year. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.